Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
When your soul dies, you just can't hide it. Everyone can tell. Oh Lord, will I ever feel right again?
From newsounds.org, this is a remote edition of Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. Amethyst Kia is a singer, songwriter, guitarist based in Tennessee. She is one quarter of the roots music supergroup called Our Native Daughters. And earlier this year, she put out a striking collection of her own songs called Wary and Strange. It's a kind of musical journey through the tangle of roots music and alternative rock, but her own personal journey is going on at the same time. She and her band are going to play some songs from that record for us, and Amethyst will also do a solo performance during the course of the set. Let's begin, though, with the full group playing a song called Black Myself. Here's Amethyst Kia. That's a live performance of the song Black Myself, Amethyst Kia and her band. Amethyst joining me on Soundcheck. And Amethyst, that's a song that we had heard well before Wary and Strange came out. You did that originally with Our Native Daughters, right?
Yeah, I wrote that song. I wrote that song while we were recording. So Songs of Our Native Daughters is a concept that Rhiannon Giddens came up with. She wanted to explore the narratives and stories of the transatlantic slave trade through song.
So it's Rhiannon Giddens, Allison Russell, Layla McCalla, and yourself.
Yes.
So you are the only one who has not appeared in our studio. So now we've got the complete set of Our Native Daughters.
That's awesome.
So what made you want to revisit that song for this record, for Wary and Strange?
Well, the discussion surrounding systematic racism, police brutality, white supremacy, all of these things, usually what'll happen is, you know, an unarmed person of color will be murdered, and then people kind of get mad for maybe a couple of weeks, and then we don't hear about it again. But I think with the combination of the lockdown with, you know, George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, that combination of those things really helped sustain the conversation in a meaningful way. And so bringing Black Myself back to the forefront was just important.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, also, it's kind of reflective of a kind of widening of your musical palette on this new record, it seems.
Yeah.
You know, where the original version is this kind of acoustic, roots-oriented. I mean, part of the thing with Our Native Daughters was Rhiannon wanted four women of color who all played banjo.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, without turning your back on that more roots-oriented sound, you have, you know, you've got basically a rock band. And those two worlds, and even just by saying two worlds, they're not two worlds. They're a single world.
Right. That was exactly. That was the whole point is that all of these different American music genres are all connected to one another. That's why if we want to talk about a melting pot, you just look to American music and it's truly there. It's truly integrated in so many different ways. So, for me, I wanted to take my alternative rock music background and alternative music in general and take these things, these tools that I'd learned with you know, American roots music and just let them both coexist.
All right. Well, as I say, you know, you basically have a rock band, and I'll ask you to introduce the members of the band in a few minutes, but right now we're going to give you center stage because this next piece is solo. It's Firewater, one of a number of songs on the album that, like Black Myself and Wild Turkey, which deals with the death of your mom, you know, songs that tackle very difficult subjects that many people would find difficult to talk about, but ironically can sing about. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, my experience with talking about my feelings and writing songs about my feelings is has been, I don't even know how to, I've never even talked about it in this particular perspective, but that has been a non-linear journey. You know, music for the very beginning for me, whether it be writing about my feelings or singing a song that matched how I felt, that was sort of my catharsis, the one way that I felt the most comfortable presenting myself. And, you know, growing up with a lot of social anxiety, my way to cope with it was to kind of keep how I was feeling to myself. And that really went into, you know, full steam ahead when my mom passed, because at that point it was just like, you know, my fears I had of rejection and abandonment just from regular people. And when my mom, you know, when my mom committed suicide, it was kind of like, well, if my own mom won't stick around, then why should I, what's the point of even trying to reach out and have meaningful relationships? Obviously not understanding, I was 17 years old, not understanding what suicide actually is, what goes through the mind of a person that does it. And so, you know, just not really having a good perspective on it because I was so young. So I kept a lot of things to myself. And there was even a period of time where, you know, I was digging directly into, you know, learning about traditional music in my 20s. And I, most for the most part, stopped writing songs altogether because I was afraid of what I was gonna see. I was trying to ignore the pain and mask the pain by throwing myself into these other things that were really great and awesome, but also I didn't have to really think about myself all that much. So it wasn't until I started going to therapy in 2016 where I was able to really start to confront, you know, my confront my trauma and to be able to learn how to let my guard down. And that's when, you know, songs from my experience in my life were able to come out. And I really kind of just reverted back to what I did when I was younger. You know, when I did write a song or I did play a song, I was able to, that it lifted a weight off of my shoulders. And then it became easier to talk about because that was my way of processing. So when I was finally able to write about my mom's death and how I responded to it, once I was able to physically write it down, I'm like, okay, now I can talk about it after 12 years of not. So yeah, music has been a very important part of me processing my trauma and my feelings and helping me to be able to, you know, to be able to speak up more than I have in the past. So.
And is that the, is the album title Wary and Strange? Is that kind of a description of your journey to get to that place?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's exactly. I wrote a song called Wary and Strange when I was in high school. And I think it's in one of my old journals somewhere. I don't even remember how the song went per se, because I recorded a lot of stuff on like a cassette tape on a player. And like, I don't know where the heck that is, but anyway, Wary and Strange is a title and an idea that has stuck with me for several years. And just, you know, I didn't know when or how I was ever going to use it, but I finally found a place for it. So yeah.
Wary and Strange is the latest record from my guest, Amethyst Kia. Let's hear her with acoustic guitar in hand, amplified, but an acoustic guitar. This is her song called Firewater.
Uncertain on my dreams, stardust forms into shapes that never leave. Strange and wary they all seem. I'm a ghost in the hall, I ain't in the room. Everywhere I go, impending doom. How many spirits does it take to lift a spirit? I don't know. I don't know, 'cause I bought every spirit and I'm still laying here crying on the floor, on the floor. So can you just leave me be? Being drenched in fire and water won't save me. I'll forsake the path of filth and flee. Can you just leave me be? Pensive stares are the only crowns I've ever gleaned. So in the dark I find the answers that I need. City lights are the only stars I ever see. How many nights until I finally can breathe? How many spirits does it take to lift the spirit? I don't know, I don't know. 'Cause I bought every spirit and I'm still laying here crying on the floor, on the floor. So So can you just leave me be? Being drenched in fire and water won't save me. I'll forsake the path of filth and fleas. Can you just leave? Can you just leave? Can you just leave? Me be.
That's Firewater, live performance from my guest Amethyst Kia, the singer, songwriter, guitarist, sometime banjo player, band leader, and occasional roots musician. Now, I, along with David Spellman, I'm one of the co-founders of the New York Guitar Festival. Last summer, you contributed to our festival. David said, I want to do something about Gary Davis. Who should we get? And you were one of the first names I suggested, and you gave us a killing version of Death Don't Have No Mercy.
Thank you.
Death don't have no mercy in this lane. Death don't have no mercy in this lane.
Did you know Gary Davis's music already? I mean, how broadly did you dig into things like Piedmont blues, Delta blues, all that kind of stuff?
Well, I got introduced to Piedmont blues while I was studying at East Tennessee State University. I ended up getting a degree in bluegrass, old time country music studies, but my main focus was on old time music, and so that's where I was introduced to, you know, the Carter family and, you know, Jimmy Rogers and Uncle Dave Macon, and also introduced to Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee, exploring East Tennessee and Piedmont blues. And Brian Gabriel Davis was one of the people that I ended up coming across. And and that's definitely one of my, that was a song that really spoke to me in a very strong way.
Death don't take no vacation in his lane. Death don't take no vacation in his lane.
I want to go back to something you said earlier when you were digging into the roots, you know, digging into roots music of various stripes. You said, you know, you weren't writing back then, so it was kind of safer to deal with this old music because you didn't have to sort of face what your own feelings were. Mm-hmm. But a song like Death Don't Have No Mercy, I mean, you know, what's he singing about? He's singing about death coming and grabbing, you know, someone's mother, someone's sister, someone's brother. I mean,
yeah,
it's not a safe place. I mean,
so it was, I still gravitated towards songs about loss and grief and death. Like, that never stopped. But in a way, I was able to kind of be incognito about it. Like, I'm not speaking specifically about my specific experience, but the feeling of this song matches my feeling. So I was still getting something out of it, of course, in a cathartic way, but it was a way to do it without actually having to reveal my own story. So,
yeah. Okay. To come back to something else you were mentioning before, the lockdown, how much of Wary and Strange was made during quarantine?
All of the songs on the record were written between 2015 and 2019. Mm-hmm. There were about three or four songs that were written in 2019 after I had worked on Songs for Native Daughters. And that really came from the fact that, you know, I was dealing with writer's block at the time, and being part of that project really just kind of it was such a deeply spiritual and personal, emotional transformation for me as a songwriter and as a person that, you know, I have a voice that, you know, I should, you know, I should share with the world my perspective and my story. So it really gave me a lot of like confidence and encouragement to, I guess, unlock whatever was in my brain keeping me from doing that. And so from that point,
I just want to ask, yeah. I hate to interrupt, but have you talked to Allison Russell about this? Because she describes her experience in the band almost exactly the same terms.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've talked about this a lot. Yeah, it was such a transformative experience, I think, for both of us. And it was a thing where, you know, I'd already, you know, recorded some songs, but they weren't really the songs that I did record were based out of pressure for me to put out a record, and not because I'd really sat down and thought about what do I want this record to be? What do I want to say? So, you know, I went back in the studio for a second time. Once I realized, you know what, you know, these newer songs that I've written and then other songs that I'd played with other songs that were my, I guess, my rock band songs that I only played when I played with a band. It was like, all this stuff needs to be on this record. You know, I was compartmentalizing whatever. And I just sort of just that wall just I was able that wall just that I had built in my head about my music just kind of came crashing down. And I'm like, OK, we're just going to make a record. And it's scary because you're like, are people going to like it? You know, I mean, there's always that the risk that you take. But like, it's the risk is so worth it because I couldn't be happier with this album and with people's response. And glad I took the risk.
This I am too, because this record is full of great songs, including the one that you and the band are going to give us called Hangover Blues. So this would be a great time to say who is the band these days?
It's Maddie Alger on drums. Ethan Ballinger on lead electric guitar, Rob Curitan on the bass. They're amazing, amazing players. A lot of them were ended up having busy schedules, so I wasn't able to lock them in for touring. But I do have a trio that I play with now, with a drummer named Austin Drury and Emma Lombiazzi, who plays bass. So they're my regular touring band at the moment, but so if you go out on the road and you don't see the people in the video, that's why. We're all friends, it's fine, but yeah. Everybody's busy, you know, so you gotta find new people, but everybody's great. I love playing with everybody I've played with so far, so it's been awesome.
Amethyst Kia is my guest. Let's hear this performance of Hangover Blues.
Woke up this morning,
That's Hangover Blues, live performance from Amethyst Kia and her band. A version of that song appears on her latest record called Wary and Strange. And what I love about the Hangover Blues, Amethyst, and you know, this is something that you'll find in a lot of old blues songs, is the sort of defiant, unapologetic nature. It's like, yeah, maybe I behaved a bit like a jerk, but what the hell?
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's, yeah, so with Hangover Blues, and that's a song that I actually recorded on an earlier recording, and I wanted to bring it back around because it marked the beginning of what would be like a 2-year party phase. Because as you can tell with Hangover Blues, that was sort of the beginning when things were really fun. And then, Tender Organs is towards the end of the party phase when I was like, man, there's more to what I'm doing than just having a good time. I'm trying to hide. I'm still hiding something. I'm still ignoring something that I'm not addressing. And then Firewater is like after my first year of therapy and like kind of taking a break from backing off of partying and just learning how to, you know, just be a person without having to, you know, without having to drink to enjoy, have a good time.
Yeah. So in addition to what's happening musically on the record, there is this kind of personal story, this narrative story arc that's unfolding on the album. The album's called Wary and Strange, and Amethyst Kia has been my guest. And boy, I've really enjoyed talking with you and hearing you and the band perform. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor and a pleasure. So thank you.
Well, you can see the videos of Amethyst Kia and her band, her studio band, performing these songs from Wary and Strange. The videos are on our website or our YouTube channel. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, our producer Karen Havlick, our video editor is David McLean, and I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.